T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And right now we've got Cole Kubelik on the WadeForward.com hotline. He's from SEC Network. I see him on games all the time. He's the host of Three Man Front on 94.5 Jocks FM. Cole, thanks for coming back with your boys, Rick and John, here in Atlanta. How you living?
Hey, I'm doing great, guys. I appreciate you having me.
No doubt. Now, Cole, I've been saying all week, and I'm not like, I don't want guys to get hurt. I don't root for injury, but I was at Tuscaloosa for the Mississippi State game, and I saw the Bulldogs beat the crap out of Tua to the point he had to leave the game. And I'm saying to Georgia, your pass rush isn't that great, so why not, you know, dive at his legs? You got to get Tua out of the game. You got to wound him to win this game. Are you with me or against me?
No, that's unethical. I don't think I can root for that. I do think you try to hit him. I do think you try to knock him around a little bit, try to make him uncomfortable. But I don't think that you sacrifice penalties, penalty yardage, and potentially getting guys kicked out of a game so you might hurt another player, not to mention the ethics part of it, which is just flat-out wrong. So I wouldn't be with that part of it, but I do think Georgia's got to find a way to pressure Tua, hit Tua, make him as uncomfortable as possible.
Cole, when you go along those lines, I've said Georgia potentially needs to blitz a little more than they do normally. I think they need to take some chances to make Tua uncomfortable. Can you see them doing that and trusting their defensive backs to cover that bevy of receivers for Alabama?
It's a tough ask. LSU couldn't really do it, and LSU, I think, has the best secondary in college football. So there are parts of this Georgia secondary that are elite. The biggest problem is that you don't have a guy along the front four that has been able to generate a pass rush in one-on-one situations on his own. That's going to be a problem. So I think you almost have to bring some extra pressure. You have to add some extra numbers, because if you don't, well, then you're just asking your guys to sit back there for 8, 10, 12 seconds, and that becomes even more impossible. So I do think that you'll see some pressure, but I think maybe look for more mixing and matching of coverage and maybe trying to do things with more numbers on the back end. I think Georgia's front can play the run well, so maybe sit back and play – you know, play 5-6 in the box. Say we're going to try to play your run game with less numbers and play more numbers on the back end. So two of them would probably have the time, but maybe would see different looks, and you change those looks and you get bracket, double, zone coverages, and those change a little more frequently than they do the majority of the time. So that may be one area that Mel Tucker and Kirby Smart look at exploring to try and take away some of his success.
Cole Kubelik joining Rick and John here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Cole, we're basically on the same page with the Tua thing. I talk in provocative language. I love Tua. I think he's the number one pick in the NFL draft in a couple of years. I'm a big fan of his work. I'm just saying, you know, to your point, you got to beat him up. If he's cleaning the pocket all day, he's gonna you know, surgically tear you apart, a la a Tom Brady. So let's talk about Tua here for a second. Cole, you've been you know playing and covering this game for decades. Where does Tua rank with the best spinners of the ball you have ever seen in college football?
Boy, he's up there. And I do want to say this, and I think Tua's great. I agree with you. He's one of the best that I've ever seen do it. But he's got a really good cast, and I think there are some other guys that have gone on to have extra success at the next level, whether it was Brady, whether it was Aaron Rodgers, whoever, that didn't have the same kind of cast. I mean, he's got two or three draft picks on his offensive line. He's got two or three draft picks at receiver. He's got a draftable tight end, and when I say draftable, some of those guys are going to be first and second round picks. So he's got three running backs that are going to be drafted early. Like, I mean, Josh Jacobs, Najee Harris, Damian Harris are going to be drafted probably in the first three rounds. I mean, it's just the abundance of riches that he has to be able to distribute the football to is almost unfair. Now, his accuracy, his decision-making, his poise are all completely next level. So he's definitely top five quarterbacks that I've seen do it, and you've seen some other guys do it in different ways. Like, I'll say this, I still say that Cam Newton's the best college football player I've ever seen, and the reason that I say that is there is not another NFL rush attempt or reception or pass attempt on that Auburn roster that he won the 2010 national championship with, and only one offensive lineman started an NFL game. So no other player on that roster has run the football or caught the football in the NFL. that to me shows you just how good Cam Newton was in that season. So Tua's great. Tua's really good. But Tua's cast is also really, really, really good as well.
Cole, we know the winner of this game is in the college football playoff, no question asked. Dissect the two losers. If Alabama or Georgia loses, would either one of them make the playoffs?
I think if Alabama loses, they're probably in. Let's think about it this from this perspective, and I've done that mock selection committee. You would only need a few people in that committee to be able to sit there and look at everybody else and say, do we believe that Alabama is one of the four best teams in college football? How many members of that committee do you honestly believe, after having Alabama number one every week, Rob Mullins essentially saying there hasn't been a ton of conversation about Alabama not being number one at any course of this season, that now all of a sudden, because they lose to a team that you obviously respect because you have at number four, that they're not one of the four best teams in college football? Georgia is a little bit of a different story. They obviously would need Ohio State to lose. They would need Oklahoma to lose. And I still think that you're going to have a pretty tough debate on keeping another conference champion out. I don't know how the committee would spin that, look at that. And I also believe that if Mackenzie Milton was healthy, Central Florida actually does enter the conversation if that takes place. But I think if all of those things happen, Georgia would still probably be looked at as one of the four best teams in college football and would still have a really good chance to get in.
Cole, we're all trying to make sense of the Paul Johnson stepping down here in Atlanta. Obviously, right down the road is where Tech plays, as you know, Cole. We've got Cole Kublick on the WaitForIt.com hotline of SEC Network and host of Three Men Front on 94.5 Jocks FM. Do you think that he stepped down legitimately and sincerely, or do you think Todd Stansbury, the AD, made a decision, this isn't good enough, I want a new head coach?
No, I think he stepped down. And I think he just kind of realized that he had done what he can do. You heard him yesterday afterwards say that he's just tired, he needs a break, and I believe that. And we had their game against Georgia a couple weeks ago, so I was there on the sideline and talked to him a couple times. We had a conference call with him during the week, had a chance to visit with him two times before the game, and then obviously coming out of halftime. So I think this is legit. And I think you guys have heard Paul Johnson, whether it's being – you know, post-game interviews with sideline reporters or in press conferences or other things. He's not afraid to throw shots. He's not afraid to speak his mind. So I think he would have given us some indication verbally, somehow, some way, that this was not his choice if that's the way it went down.
Cole, what's the latest with Gus Malzahn? We've seen that they're kind of taking away some of his buyout money. Is his job really in jeopardy at Auburn moving after this year?
After this year, he'll be the head coach in 2019, in my opinion, but I do think he's on thin ice after that and needs to make some things happen early in next season, and it's going to be tough because that schedule is brutal. So I think things are very tumultuous in Auburn right now. I think there's a lot of people that have a little bit of power that are trying to swing that power and make different things happen. By no stretch of the imagination is everybody on the same page, and I think that's a problem.
Cole, in terms of replacing Paul Johnson, would you go back to a triple option type of scenario with Jeff Monken of Army, who obviously has the ties to Paul Johnson? I favor Ken Wisenhunt. I think Georgia Tech needs a major hitting of the reset button. And obviously he's a Georgia Tech dude, no Stansbury. But just bringing the NFL to Atlanta and Tech and the ACC, that's the way I would go. Where do you think Georgia Tech should go for their next coach?
I think there's a couple things you could do. You could go spread option, and this is what Georgia Southern did a couple of years ago when they sort of went away from the triple option and sort of went spread option a little bit and actually ended up working. And they threw the football, you know, 300% more than they did the year before when they actually ran the triple option. So that's one way that you could go, is sort of you keep your option principles, but you spread it out a little bit and throw a little more. But then some of the personnel that you have can still work, can still be utilized. I think for me, I would get away from it. When you look at the high schools in Metro Atlanta and 80% of them, 85% of them are running some version of the spread, I think you need to be doing that because that's going to be your home recruiting base and you need players that are going to fit your system as best possible. So for me, I bring in some sort of a spread guru, and I think that was what would be best suited in the ACC. And I think that's what would be best suited to be able to recruit the Atlanta area as successfully as you could.
Cole, as disappointing as it is, this is basically the end of the regular season of college football this weekend. After this weekend shakes out, who do you think are the four teams that are standing in the college football playoff?
I think it'll be Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Oklahoma. I think I just cannot, for me personally, I can't overlook the way that Ohio State lost to Purdue, a team that's 6-6. And Brohm just got $6 million, and that's great, but that's a 500 football team. And to get your ass kicked the way that they did in that game, I can't sit back and say, yeah, you deserve to be mentioned as one of the four best teams in college football. Oklahoma's going to have a chance to avenge their only loss. I think they'll do it, and I think that will propel them into the college football playoffs.
Hey, Cole, I got one more quick one for you here. And I'm not saying Harbaugh's going to be fired, you know, now or next. To me, on Saturday, I saw the beginning of the end of the Jim Harbaugh era in Ann Arbor. Do you agree?
No, I don't, because I think that he has done things to begin to alter his offense, to sort of push them towards the future of college football. And let's keep in mind, he lost one game this year. So, these expectations in college football have gotten completely out of control. I had a guy calling on my show last week and say, well, you know, Ohio State, you know, they had an okay season. They didn't really live up to expectations. And I'm like, guys, they lost one game. I mean, yeah, I would have taken a hammer and pounded my pinky toe off of my foot when I was a college football player if you guaranteed me a one-loss football season. Like, these expectations are completely out of whack. Jim Harbaugh's still doing a great job, and I don't think Michigan can go get somebody that's going to go do a whole lot better than losing one regular season game.
Cole, I'm with you. I don't need my pinky toe anyway. If Mark Richt could get his head out of his rear end and win some games at Miami, I'd go for another 11-win season.
There you go. I would have probably had to have a conference championship tied to that. But if that meant a one-loss regular season still winning the conference championship, yeah. Let's take that pinky toe off. We'll be good.
Cole, you the man. We appreciate it.
Great stuff.
Thanks, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.